form and function of the small intestine. This is the small intestine is an amazing organ, right? It's 20 feet long. It's got 2,000 to 3,000 square feet of surface area. It is made up of this villi and microvilli, and the reason it has these finger-like projections called villi and microvilli is that improves surface area quite dramatically. Why does it want all of this surface area? Because it provides more opportunity for digestion and absorption of nutrients, right? Your body is trying to maximize its capability of absorbing nutrients as food is moving through the system, and increased surface area does that more. Now, on that surface area, you have these brush border enzymes that are released by these microvilli and these finger-like projections, so that when those food components hit that surface area, the intestinal epithelial cells cannot absorb big macromolecules. So the brush border enzymes ensure that proteins and carbohydrates are broken down to their smallest subunits so they can be absorbed through. You have the duodenum, which is closest to the stomach. This is when I say proximal, the word proximal, it means closest to the previous organ, right? In this case, the previous organ is the stomach. So you've got the duodenum, which is the most proximal part of the small bowel, the jejunum, which is the middle part, which is where most of the nutrient absorption happens, and then the ileum, which is the final section where things like B12 and bile salts and all that either get made or absorbed. And then also the ileum is where most of the immune activity occurs in the small bowel as well, right? 90% of nutrient absorption occurs in the small bowel, including macromolecules or larger molecules like carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Now, carbohydrates, proteins, and fats are digested with the help of that pancreatic enzyme and the release of those enzymes and bile salts and brush border enzymes and so on. And those are broken down into glucose, amino acids, fatty acids, which get absorbed. Right? So that should hopefully make sense. Now, the small intestine has a very deep relationship with the microbiome, and also a very tenuous relationship with the microbiome, because the microbial population in the small intestine has to be minimal, right, compared to the large intestine. And I'll show you what the numbers look like in the large intestine, but specifically in the most proximal part of the small intestine. So that's the duodenal area, right? Closest to the stomach. The concentration of microbes is around 10 to the 4 CFUs per mil. That means about 1,000 bacteria per milliliter of gastric juices that you would pull, right? Now, as you move closer to the end, it goes up as high as 10 to the 6 CFUs per mil. That's about a 100-fold increase. So from the very beginning of the small intestine to the very end of the small intestine, you see about a 100-fold increase in the amount of bacteria. So 10 to the 6 is about 10,000. Microbes per ml of gastric juice that could be pulled out from that area. So it's higher than the proximal part, but nowhere close, as you'll see, to the large bowel, right? And the control of this amount of microbes is a big factor of the microbiome, because you don't want an overgrowth of microbes and you don't want a changing of the microbiome in the small bowel, because the microbiome in the small bowel does a number of very important things. In addition, because of the 70 to 80% of all of the immune cells in the small bowel, the microbiome in the small bowel is continuously talking to and working with the immune system. So you want to make sure the smaller amount of microbes you have are the right microbes, because the wrong microbes won't communicate with the immune system well, and they don't maintain a proper tolerance relationship. I talked about some of that in the first module. We'll go into a deeper dive into that in subsequent modules, especially the leaky gut side. But generally, understanding that a bunch of the immune tissue, 70 to 80%, are in the small intestine, especially in the terminal end of the small intestine, where it's really important for the microbes to be adequately communicating with the immune cells. And the immune cells are typically found in the Peyer's patches, in the intraepithelial lymphocytes, and the lamina propria lymphocytes. What does that mean? Peyer's patches are a type of tissue, immune tissue, in the small bowel where lots of immune sampling is occurring, where your immune cells are trying to figure out what's coming into the system and should we attack it or not attack it. And that's where decisions are being made, and the microbiome is helping those decisions. Intraepithelial lymphocytes are the immune cells in between the epithelial cells, the intestinal cells, trying to protect those tight junctions so that anything bad that comes through, it can try to neutralize it. And then lamina propria is the side beyond the intestinal epithelium when things first move through the lining of the intestines. That's another layer of protection where your immune cells are sitting there and waiting, but your immune cells need to know what to attack and what not to attack. It's getting that information from the microbiome in the small bowel, right? And then adequate bile production release is also essential for maintaining optimal microbial balance, because remember, bile is an antimicrobial and it can kill a lot of dysfunctional bacteria, but allow some of the functional safe bacteria to grow well, right? So this is the balance there. And then the microbes in the small intestine, they produce vitamins, metabolites, things like polyamines, indoles, short chain fatty acids, like butyrate. A small amount of butyrate is produced in the small intestine, about 8 to 10% of the butyrate. The vast majority of it is produced in the large intestine, but those compounds modulate immune response in the small intestine. They upregulate tight junction proteins. So polyamines and indoles upregulate tight junction proteins to keep the lining of the small intestine sealed well. But those are all byproducts of the microbiome in the small bowel. The immune signaling that I talked about, and then the motility regulation through short chain fatty acids and even serotonin. The pH of the small bowel tends to be more neutral, so 6 to 7. And this is maintained by that release of bicarbonate and also by bile, neutralizing the acid that's coming in from the stomach. And then the short chain fatty acids that are produced and also the bile negate some of the oxygen accumulation in the small bowel. You don't want too much oxygen. There is oxygen in the small bowel, but you want to reduce it if you can, because some of the pathogens do really well in a higher oxygen environment. The commensals do better in a lower oxygen environment. And then finally, butyrate plays a role in maintaining this low oxygen environment as well. So maintaining the ecosystem and the functionality of the small bowel is a function of the small bowel microbiota, which can easily become disrupted based on diet, lifestyle, and other functions. And then you actually disrupt the function of the small bowel when you disrupt that ecosystem, right? So leaky gut happens. Now, I'm not going to go into this because we're going to really hit this hard in module 3. But if the microbiome of the small bowel is not functioning properly, what you end up getting is an eating away and mucus layer, too much inflammation, loss of oral tolerance, the immune system and the microbiome not communicating properly. Everything that comes into the system gets attacked, and then eventually the intestinal tight junctions open up and you end up with leaky gut, right? So we'll go into that pathology as well in the next module. So small intestinal dysfunction and dysbiosis, signs and symptoms. So take a look at this and then see where you fall into on this list.